morning, I'd like to call to order this meeting of the House Health, Education, and Social Services Committee. Today's Friday, April 20th, 1990, and members present are Representatives Boyer, Davis, and myself, Representative Ellis. We have a difficult situation this morning in that we lack a quorum at this time and have a majority caucus at 9 a.m. We are going to attempt today to recess at 9 a.m. and then get back together at 3 o'clock this afternoon to continue our calendar. We have a number of items on the calendar today, and we're going to have to skip around to accommodate people's schedules. And is there a representative from Senator Binkley's office here yet? If not, we'll take Senate Bill 189, examining persons in protective custody, first. Legislation by the governor. I'd ask someone from the administration to come forward quickly.
It's not quick enough, George.
To give a brief overview of the legislation.
Mr. Chairman, I'm George Mundell with the Office of, the Department of Health and Social Services. And the intent of the bill is to allow a health professional other than a physician to be able to do the medical screens on programs that are approved for an emergency care component. So it's very important to understand that the only programs we have in the state that are approved for the emergency care component are in Ketchikan, Juneau, Fairbanks, Anchorage, and Dillingham. We have one in Dillingham now. And the problem that is encountered is the availability of a physician at some of the odd hours of the morning when the public inebriate service for care. And so what the proposal or the intent of the legislation would be that under these circumstances that a health professional other than a physician would be able to, under the physician's orders, standing orders, would be able to provide the medical evaluation. And that would keep it consistent with the what we consider good quality care.
Are there
the
questions?
Department does offer two amendments, and okay. I believe that you have those in your packet.
Yes, we do.
Okay.
Do we have any comments or questions from members of the committee? If not, Mr. Mundell, let's go through the amendments. I have three amendments in my packet. One that says amendment number one, one that says amendment number two, and one that without a number. So can you start with number one?
Mr. Leiby was going to bring the amendments. Apologize. Page 1, lines 13 through 15. Replace all underlying material with the department shall, by regulation, determine which practitioners may be authorized to perform the examination. And so what we're essentially deleting out from statute would be the scope of the examination. And that would be handled by regulation.
Representative Davis?
Mr. Chairman, I think that old amendment that was in our packet that's unnumbered is basically the way I read it.
Mr. Mundell, amendment number two?
Amendment number two would delete section two. Section two amends the portion of the statute that deals with involuntary commitments, where you're committing a person for a longer period of time. And in thinking about that, we don't need that provision. There's adequate time to get a position for involuntary commitment purposes. Our concern is with the emergency commitment provision, which contains section one. So the department would recommend deleting section two of the bill. That begins on line 19.
And the members should discard the third unnumbered amendment. Questions or comments about the amendments? Let me check and see if there's, I guess there are other folks signed up to testify on the bill. I'm going to ask you if you all are part of a group to send one person forward to speak on your behalf. where I'll call you individually for brief comments. Mr. Mundell, thank you for being here. Todd Huttenlocher, would you like to join us, please? Good morning. Please go ahead.
My name is Todd Huttenlocher. I'm a physician at Bartlett Hospital. I'm past chief of staff of the Public Health Service Hospital in Bethel, now called the Anacostia Delta Regional Hospital, past chief of staff at Bartlett Hospital. I currently run the emergency room group that provides emergency services at Bartlett. And I'm interested in this bill, in that the original bill that entitled 12-hour holds or involuntary alcohol commitments, as they're called, has created a great strain on the emergency medical services around Alaska and primarily in major cities. You have created a system where we are becoming responsible for health care of indigent street people who have problems with alcohol. We do not take care of them, we do not rehabilitate them, but yet we're asked to screen for medical certification if these people are going to survive their detoxification process. This has placed a tremendous strain on us. We're seeing many, many people. And because of the way the 12-hour hold statutes are designed, we're doing as many as three complete physicals every 24 hours on the same individual who just goes around and around and around in the same cycle. This is very expensive. It's very time-consuming. I don't think it's really a proper allocation of resources. I think this money could be better spent in other ways. This bill has the potential to provide for those people to be taken care of at a lower level of care that would provide just as good a care as we can provide in the emergency department, may in fact even be more expeditious for them and perhaps might get them to the goal of rehabilitation there. So I think your current system set up is very expensive. You wonder why healthcare is expensive in the state. This is one of the reasons why healthcare is expensive, because these non-revenue patients that we see, we get revenue from other patients who come in the hospital to cover that.
Representative Jacko.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In this, with this piece of legislation, if you referred them to some other healthcare facility and there isn't any other such facility in the area, then it would require that you, like, send them to where the healthcare facility is at. Like, in Dillingham, there isn't any other alcohol detoxification type of thing. So, yeah. In that case, I guess it would be more expensive.
Where are the
12-hour
holds going in Dillingham now? Are they going to the jail there?
I guess they go back out on the street.
They can't, not by your statutes. You see, once a person has come in contact with, or been, we can't, the EMT or whoever is your community patrol in Dillingham can't release them until they have had this exam and then they've sobered up.
Oh,
and I suspect
that
probably in Bethel they went to jail and were detoxed there after going through the hospital. What we're saying is you can put a PA in the jail or a trained practitioner in alcohol withdrawal who could be other than a physician who could do that screening besides having to take them to the hospital there for a screen there. I think you're certainly going to have to run that by the state medical licensing.
So you're not sure that this would require that to be sent to like Anchorage or wherever there's a facility?
I don't read that into this, no. At all.
Doctor, thank you very much for being here. Garth Hamlin, and I'll have to ask you to keep your comments even shorter. And then Don Dapsovich, if you could be prepared to come forward. Mr. Hamlin, good morning. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Garth Hamlin. I'm the controller at Bartlett Hospital in town. Just quickly to give you a bit of perspective from our standpoint, Dr. Huttenlocher's comments I echo. We're in favor of this. There's a lot of other issues involved. This bill in itself probably isn't going to decrease the number of these 12-hour holds that we see in our emergency rooms. Just as a point of reference, we see an average, we did a 132-day survey. We see an average of 1.6 of these people per day, 589 a year. That costs us somewhere between $200,000 and $250,000 a year. These people are self-pay, which is no pay. Again, echoing Dr. Huttenlocher's comments, the reason rates are high is because that gets covered someplace else. The rates are high for somebody else because these people are in there. There's a lot of other issues involved. And I think Mr. Dapovich and Dapsovich is prepared to talk about some of those things. This bill in itself, we're in support of. It's probably not going to decrease the number of people we see. Other things, the kind of things that that Dr. Huttenlocher's talking about, physician assistants at a jail or something, would prevent them from coming through Bartlett's emergency room in our individual case. And we recognize, acknowledge, that's premium dollars. Once they come in our door, it costs us a lot of money to do the kind of things we need to do to examine them and that kind of thing. So you're paying premium dollars for that.
Thank you very much. Mr. Dapsovich?
I'm Don Dapsovich. I'm the Chemical Dependency Administrator for the City and Borough of Juneau. And I echo the comments of the previous folks with regard to support of this legislation. If there's a single bit of legislation that's important to program management for alcoholism this year, other than budget bills, it's this one. This will allow us to operate our facilities in a more expeditious manner, and it's more defensible from a taxpayer standpoint to have the resources that are already in place or being put in place to take care of public inebriates, take care of it, instead of having the emergency room do it and exacerbate another situation where our EMTs have to stand by at the emergency room sometimes all night while they're waiting for a physician to come and examine the various people that they bring in. So they spend the majority of their time, instead of on the street where they can help, in the emergency room waiting to see a physician. So it's extremely important for us to have this piece of legislation in place. The folks that work in chemical dependency are trained to work in this area. They're trained in withdrawal management. There isn't an EMT on my force that doesn't know the medical history of every single person they pick up, with rare exceptions to the new person that comes to town. But certainly they have the experience in withdrawal management. They're doing CPR, in essence, on the street, and the concern about alcoholic seizure takes place further down the road where they're in the medical, the alcohol medical facility.
Okay. Mr. Dapsovich, thank you. Representative Jackler, do you have a question?
I guess I'm still having trouble with where these people are going to go. I know it's really an expensive thing to have them held over for 24 hours in the hospital, but I'm still not sure where they're going to go if you refer them out.
Well, in the cities that are covered under this legislation, the EMT and the nursing service will make a determination of whether they're best served in the DTAR, what's called the sleep off, the reception center, or whether they're better served in the detox facility, or if they have a medical complication, a true medical complication, divorced from the alcohol or drug problem, if they're best served at the emergency room. And so that's what will determine it.
Mr. Chairman, if I can, what if there aren't any of those other facilities around?
Then this law doesn't apply.
And they just stay in the emergency?
Then they stay in the emergency room, because the law doesn't apply. It only applies in the cities that have the facilities to take care of them.
Thank you very much, Mr. Dapsovich. We appreciate you coming out. I'd like to entertain a motion to adopt Amendment Number 1 at this time.
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Some discussion of Amendment Number 1? Is there objection? If not, it's adopted. Representative Boyer, Amendment Number 2.
Mr. Chairman, I would move we adopt Amendment Number 2.
Okay. Which deletes Section 2. Is there discussion? Is there objection to adoption of Amendment Number 2? If not, so ordered. What's the committee's pleasure on final disposition of the bill? This bill goes on to just the Rules Committee of the House. Representative Davis.
Mr. Chairman, I move we pass out the substitute for Senate Bill 189 with individual recommendations.
Okay. Is there any discussion of the motion? Any objection? If not, the bill moves on to the Rules Committee. Next item before us is Senate Bill 450, the Child Abuse Reporting Legislation. It's been before us a number of times. I have heard from interested members of the committee that his committee substitute is a good one, and if anyone feels otherwise, this is the time to let me know. We need to adopt the Lauterbach 4-1990 committee substitute, and I'd entertain that motion at this time.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. That is the item before us for discussion, and this is the version that we, with just one minor change that we reviewed in the run-throughs we've had over the last couple of days. I'd like to move this on to the Judiciary Committee so that this bill will have a life in the House. Representative Davis?
Mr. Chairman, I move House CS for Senate Bill Number 450 with individual recommendations.
Is there any objection to the motion? If not, so ordered. Ms. Otto, thank you very much for your work on the bill.
Thank you.
The next item before us, okay. what I'd like to do, because I have a feeling the fetal alcohol syndrome bills will move rather quickly when they're before us, Ms. Jackson. I appreciate you coming down, but I'd like to have Melissa Faust join us on Senate Bill 19. We only have 10 minutes left, but I want to begin the discussion or continue the discussion on the forfeiture bill for those members who weren't here when the bill was before us for the first time. So Senate Bill 19 is the next item before us.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, I'm Melissa Faust on Senator Sturdivant's staff. Senator had planned to be here this morning, but the governor invited her to breakfast, so she went there.
Introduction to the surroundings or?
The tour.
Ms. Faust, would you mind just really briefly reminding the committee about the major aspects of the bill, and then we'll see if there are questions by the members who weren't here last
time. You bet. This bill is needed because our forfeiture and seizure laws are kind of outdated. They need to be brought more into line with the Federal Model Forfeiture Act and some constitutional questions that have arisen and been settled by court decisions in the last few years. Another reason that we need to update our forfeiture law is because the current method by which the state does most of its seizures and forfeitures is through the federal courts, and the feds have begun a process whereby they think they might want to either deny us access to their courts at all or take a big cut off the tops. And so it's getting very expensive for us not to have an updated law. The main policy changes that this bill makes to current law is adding an administrative proceeding to uncontested forfeiture cases to declare seized property forfeit, adding to the list of items subject to forfeiture in both alcohol and drug offenses, and adding to the ways in which a person may obtain relief from seizure and forfeiture, and providing for sharing of the proceeds with municipalities. That's the short version.
I'd also note that we're now on teleconference. Mr. Dinguinelli, who was here last time, has joined us from Anchorage, I guess. If there are questions for him as well. Questions to Ms. Faust? This is legislation that I would like to move on at some point to the next committee of referral. And if members have concerns, this is the time to do it. Representative Boyer?
And what is the chairman of the Rules Committee doing to expedite passage of House bills? Teasing, Buzz. Teasing.
Beats me.
I'm sure this.
That's a Mackay thing, isn't it?
The record should reflect that he's grinning and gritting his teeth.
Representative Grunberg, do you have any comments?
I'm sorry, I haven't reviewed the bill. And if I have questions, I'll ask. Not at this point, though.
You'll have plenty of questions.
You bet. And we will deal with this expeditiously.
I had raised at the last hearing that just the issue of being careful with our laws that anything, whether it's a house or a fishing boat or anything else that's involved in the drug trade or acquired with profits from these kinds of illegal activities, that we go after those things with a vengeance and use the profits from that or the use of that to benefit public treasury, but that when things are not, whether it's someone's home or someone's livelihood, it's not under either of those two cases, that we be very careful about our forfeiture laws and our seizure laws and those sorts of things. So those are just issues that I raise. And I serve on the Judiciary Committee as well, and hopefully we'll make sure that we've reviewed those issues there. But I don't see a reason to continue this much further. Representative Grunberg?
Yeah, I don't see the Hess issue as the main jurisdiction here. But I do have one question, Melissa, and that is that we now have forfeiture laws relating to gambling devices. And I'd just like you to think about, should the laws be congruent for all types of illegal kinds of things? And if we're going to update for these, we might want to look at, and this is without any great amount of thought, But I know that there are updated gambling, that there are forfeiture laws involving gambling devices. And there are some cases like the state of Alaska versus one 35 caliber gun and one pickup truck. And those cases involve these forfeitures. And I think some of them are outdated too. So you might have your lawyers take a look and if we do them all, can do them all at the same time.
If I can respond briefly to that, in one incarnation, this bill did apply the procedures that are new and also revised to all the forfeiture and seizure bills. The administration said, we'd rather you didn't do that. These laws aren't broke. Let's not tinker with it. They didn't want us to do it, and so we said, oh, well, okay.
But we may want to explore that a little bit more.
There is a version of this bill that does do that.
Because it seems to me, I'm sort of giving a preview of the judiciary, but it seems to me that it may make some sense to make these procedures fairly congruent, that may make it somewhat easier for law enforcement officials, et cetera, and the courts to deal with them.
If there's nothing further, I'll entertain a motion to send the bill on with individual recommendations.
So moved.
Is there any discussion? Is there any objection to the motion if the bill moves on to the Judiciary Committee? Ms. Jackson, could you just jump up here real quickly?
Thank you.
Which of 410 or 411, which do you think we could do the fastest?
Probably 411. There's a suggested amendment on 410.
Okay, Senate Bill 411 then is the item before us, fetal alcohol syndrome notice on mail order alcohol sales.
Thank you. My name is Pat Jackson, Senator Binkley's office, and this bill would require that those businesses who send mail order shipments of alcohol would be required to include a simple brochure warning about the effects of alcohol-related birth defects with each shipment. The rationale behind this is that people receiving their alcohol through mail order shipments don't have the benefit of reading the sign when they purchase their alcohol.
I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Representative Boyle.
Sorry. Ask any questions, Mr. Chairman. I would make a motion that we're ready.
This is the second hearing before us. Let me just say, Mr. Guarnelli, if you're still there, thank you for being with us. I think you heard the bill, SB 19, pass out. Thanks for coming out today. We're off teleconference now.
Right.
And Representative Boyer, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I would move that we pass out Senate Bill number 411 with individual recommendations.
Okay. Without objection, so ordered. Ms. Jackson, thank you very much. We'll take up the other bill sometime soon.
Jim, got some paper for us to sign. If you want to get out of here, we've got things to do with people.
Okay. I announced that we're going to try and have a 3 o'clock meeting this afternoon. I'll be talking to you. Can't make it today.
Mr. Chairman, we've got if we could delay this meeting a little bit, because we've got a zillion bills up at Judiciary, and we need you to be there for the quorum. Mm-hmm. We've got like 7 or 8 bills up, and we're going to just move them right along. If we could delay this a little bit, that would be great help to me. And
we'll,
I'll be here then for this.
I'll keep you posted then, or let you know in an announcement on the floor of what we're going to be able to do this afternoon.
So I
understand you, Mr. Greenberg, and we'll do our best to accommodate everything. If there's no further business to come before us, we're recessed at 9 a.m.
I get a question.